Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the bizarre one, Rich Stambolian.
I am the bizarre one today and today only. I'm coming from like my bunker.
You are from
wife. Yeah, my wife's all, she got all fucked up yesterday on booze. And I'm trying to be respectful and go to the other side of the house.
Smart man.
And just be as loud as possible with the door locked so that, because usually like if I do the other setup, it's like 6 feet from the bedroom door, you know?
So people want to know, are you broadcasting live from Wrestling Universe here in Bayside from Jack Shabbat's toy store?
I should just open up a, at one
a
point it's going to happen. At one point it's going to happen. You're going to get a comic book and collectible store.
Dude, I'll go in with you. Partner up. If you do that, I'll partner up with you. 100%.
That's cool, man. All right. All right. I like that.
Yeah, I will. Do look like, I honestly, it does look like you're at the Wrestling Universe. For people who don't know what the Wrestling Universe is, I'll give them a little shout out here. Not an ad or anything, but Jack has had a wrestling-based, I guess he started off as like a comic book, a memorabilia shop, and in the 90s, in the boom period, he turned it over to becoming, you know, more mostly pro wrestling related stuff. He was where we would go to get tapes. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I went. That was
obscure
the first
tapes.
Time. Yeah. Like the whole tape trading era. Like that's how I got introduced to Misawa and Kobashi and all those guys. You know, the old Japan stuff, the new Japan stuff. Even like the Mick, like I had no idea what a death match was until he handed me this tape and it said IWA death match on it. And I was like, what the hell is this? You know?
Yeah, dude. Like, he had all this weird stuff. Like, I think we got, we kind of knew each other around then. And I know we definitely got some, like All Japan stuff from him. Like, a lot of All Japan stuff. Just stuff that, like, you know, pre-real internet, you know, and pre-, subtitles or anything. Like, I think I still have some grainy tapes from that store that are like a bootleg of a bootleg of like Muda matches and shit like that.
And
you
know what?
Like
Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z tapes.
Yeah. A lot of Dragon
right?
Ball.
Yeah. A lot of Dragon Ball Z stuff with the with like the makeshift subtitles.
Yes.
It's very interesting. They go hand in hand. And I really would love someone to do some sort of documentary on the whole tape trading era. You know, like what it was like to get content. Like, I remember I used to have a friend that used to send me the OVW tapes in 01-02. Like, think about how nuts that is. That's an era where stuff like that should have been available.
Hothead asks, what's this tape trading that you guys are talking about?
So, so in the 90s, it became very popular amongst, you know, pro wrestling enthusiasts like us, the ones here, to go on message boards or BBS, you know, news groups and trade tapes. So people would say like, oh, okay, I have FMW 1993. I have a match from there. I have a whole pay-per-view or show from there. And then you would trade it with another person. And then that person would trade it with another person. Like you would just trade the tapes.
Yeah, same thing. And then also close to Wrestling Universe was the other tape trading place for like music, Breakdown Records.
Breakdown Records, like, yeah.
So like you could walk from Springfield Boulevard and Wrestling Universe and get your wrestling tapes, meet some weirdo, trade them for something else, and then go to Breakdown Records and buy like a live Metallica show from like.
And you could buy all the ECW shirts you wanted.
Yes.
So it's bizarre, right? Like that's how you did it. So our box office for ECW tickets were at this place, Breakdown Records, right by both of our homes. So we would go in there and you would see like it would just be like a lot of like vinyl and like obscure, you know, metal bands and rock bands that you haven't really heard of, like really awesome stuff. And then they would have like a whole section dedicated to ECW. And they would hang up all those ECW shirts and sell ECW tickets. Really awesome.
Yeah, and they would sell tickets for, like, a lot of stuff. I know we're going down the rabbit hole here.
We are,
like,
I know.
Very, very, like, interesting little, like, stuff like that isn't done anymore, dude. Like, I remember years and years ago, like, my old band, like, we opened for this band called E-Town Concrete. Like, really cool, like, kind of, like, hardcore rap metal band. And the ticket hub was Breakdown Records, like in our neighborhood. So really it was cool. Like, you guys got to buy the tickets ahead of time, and we're like the distributor for the tickets and like all this stuff. So like they were kind of like this weird like place where you had to do that stuff. And the same thing with Wrestling Universe. Like that was like the only local place that I remember where you could get like all the weird, cool wrestling stuff. Cause he, at that time, he had like his pulse on the finger of like the tape trading, and it was underground, right?
And you
like,
remember his commercial, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was my basketball coach, or my basketball coach's best friend, that he threw, slammed through the table. And he goes, "We crushed the competition." If somebody that, if somebody could get this to Jack, I really want that clip. I've been looking for that thing on the internet for like 3 years now. Mm-hmm. It's such an obscure, and it would air during Monday Night Raw, that clip. So very interesting.
Yeah, dude. Very local commercial. Like sometimes it would come on at like 9:47 and you'd see like a very dimly lit commercial in between like credit card commercials or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, there was a Burger King commercial, a soda commercial, and here's Jack Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Freaking great.
Fascinating.
Love it. So I know we started off with a little obscure reference, but today is Survivor Series Day. Normally, this is a huge day for us. Normally, we have a McDonald's sponsorship or a Wendy's, some sort of sponsorship. We do a big party here. I put on, it's always for Survivor Series we do this. And, you know, obviously, it's a big weekend, right? Normally, you have War Games this weekend during Survivor Series, Saturday and Sunday, big pay-per-view days. But now, you know, in the COVID era, things are a little bit different. Rich is not going to be in studio today. I really want to do a watch-along. And then I was thinking, like, you know, we haven't really paid attention to the Twitter while we're doing this. So do you want to tweet while we do the show? Like, how do you want to do this? Like, I want to figure out how we're doing this.
You know what? Let's do it. This is very spur of the moment. Let's do this. Let's do what we did a couple of pay-per-views ago, where, like, if you want to go live, I'll be on audio. And that way I can watch, talk, and then tweet. Because if I'm doing this.
Yeah,
if
it's
I'm
hard.
Doing this, I can't tweet or anything. And like the last few events we've been doing live or like in studio, and like we have been kind of ignoring the social stuff. So I'll do the tweeting. Yeah. You do the live stuff. I'll hop in and out. And then I guess we'll have like a couple of guest stars.
Yeah. Let's do that. I think that works better for the remote shows. And anyway, we're a lot of inside baseball talk here. Sorry, guys. I know people are going to be annoyed by this. But
No. They love it, Andrew.
Listen, you know what? I love that inside baseball stuff. Like, you know, I'm going to veer off if I continue. So I'll save it for after the show. So let's kind of go into this. I want to summarize the week really quickly, go into Survivor Series, and then where we're going off, because right after this pay-per-view, we got one more. We got the December pay-per-view, which is TLC. And then here we go. December. WrestleMania season begins.
Yeah. Well,
strangely enough.
Doesn't WrestleMania season begin the day after WrestleMania?
I consider the lead up to, I always consider like the 2 weeks leading up to Rumble, the beginning of WrestleMania season.
Okay.
Because you're setting everything up for Rumble. Rumble's really the setup here. So, you know, we're around that. So let's, I want to talk about something interesting that I observed during Raw. I attempted to watch Raw live, did not make it through. Okay. I don't know if it has to do with like my mindset and everything that's going on and, you know, just life that day. But I watched it and I was like, I'll watch it, you know, tomorrow. Right. And I did that. I didn't watch it tomorrow. I watched it on Friday. I watched everything on Friday, top to bottom. Right. Okay. I watched AEW, NXT, Raw. I got to tell you, watching Raw, it was at 10 o'clock in the morning in my office. I freaking loved that show. I thought it was a very good show.
Do you think you loved it because you were kind of removed from having to really intently watch it the day it aired?
I think it has to do with the time of day, right? And I think this is the biggest problem for people, because I've always said when I'm watching, and I'm curious how the West Coast people feel watching. Well, they don't get the East Coast feed, or some of the people that get the East Coast feed. How do you feel when you watch Raw? Because technically, the day's over. Like, you still got your night. It's 8 o'clock when it ends. You know, for us, I've had an entire day. I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm back home around 7 o'clock. I take my shower, I eat something, I'm having a drink, and I'm watching Raw. You know what? Making it to 11 o'clock kind of gets a little rough.
Right, right. I lost you.
Yeah, you lost me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, perfect. So, I really liked Raw. I thought Raw was a really good show. I thought the Xavier, the New Day match was really good. I thought the main event was done really well, having a champion crowned. And you could tell by the ratings. You know, it was one of the highest rated third hours in a very, very long time. The ratings held up. People were very interested because guess what? You told people to expect something. And right. That's all. I mean, think about how low the bar is when that's the that's the message you got to give to pop your ratings. They literally said, guys, whether or not he wins, expect something.
It's not like how it used to be where it was kind of like the gentleman's agreement of Raw was always watch it till the end because you never know what's going to happen in the last 20 minutes, right?
Yes.
Now the fact that they're like, please don't go anywhere. It's like something cool is going to happen is like the kid that really wants to be your friend and he's trying to show you something cool at his house and you're kind of like reluctant to go because you're running a little late. But he's like, no, for real, man. Like, I got Neo Geo. Come over. And you're like, all right. You know, it's Turbo Graphic 16, I guess. Here. That's still okay, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, they've taken the... There's the argument with when you do that too often, it's predictable. And then and then there's the argument that you're breaking the format, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you would get that 15-minute Austin promo in the beginning, and then you would go into a match, and then you would have a second match, promo at the start of 9 o'clock, promo at the start of 10, and then you got your main event. The show started at 9 before, but they've changed the format. I really think the problem is the third hour. And if they and they know it too, and they know it too 100%. And here's where my argument of third hour going away is never going to happen. And I'll tell you why. USA has had a major restructure behind the scenes. A lot of people, I mean, it's a big story here that people in wrestling are not really talking about it because USA is reorganizing everything internally. Because this has to do with NBC consolidating cable. They're in the process of kind of consolidating a lot of the programming because they've realized that spreading it across, you know, a multitude of networks. Great example, True TV, right? True TV is a Turner property, it's a Warner Media property. Would you put a top show on True TV? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you move? No, you probably wouldn't. But instead, you're going to focus in on your major channels. Right. Because the operational cost of a TV network is super high. So it looks like NBC is trying to consolidate everything and kind of make it into one smaller reach rather than having so many different programs, so many different cable outlets with so many different channels, shows on these things. So they're in a major restructuring thing for 2021. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the conversation here, and there was a lot of fear that USA was going to not be so high on WWE programming. Right.
Okay.
And that was their big thing with the guy, their major ally of 20 years leaving USA.
Right.
The discussion was, well, now USA is going to kind of put pressure on WWE. I know the pressure is there. However, a lot of the focus will be on WWE programming, and USA is interested in that second NXT show. I just want to put that out there.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
There are people within USA, and there's rumblings happening that they're talking about the new NXT show and wanted it to have it as a wraparound or some sort of embedded programming into the reality blocks.
Okay,
so that kind of
are
gives
you excited for a second NXT show?
You know why? Maybe a little bit because I've been told that it's not going to be a traditional wrestling show.
Okay. It's going to be like a reality show like the original NXT. Because they're not going to let go of that idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're talking True TV and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to put it. I'm sorry, I'm getting like 800 messages. I don't know what Cuomo just said. 800 people just messaged me at the same time. So, I'm just going through some of these. I haven't read this. So the concept would be that they would use this as some sort of reality block, and if it's a one-hour programming, they're seeing how good Miz and Mrs. is going, right? That show beat NXT's ratings last week. So,
God, really?
Listen, guys, here's a great thing. How about this? Put Raw from 8 to 10. Put that NXT show right after that. Then put Miz and Mrs. right after that. There's your WWE block. Okay?
I'd watch that.
You got 2 hours. And you know what you could do? You could do a 5-minute overrun leading into that NXT show. And you know what it's going to do to that NXT number? You're going to get about 700,000 people at least watching it weekly.
100%.
So, I'm just going through some of these notes here. I didn't mean to kind of get away from Raw, but since we were talking about USA, this is a very interesting thing. And I think in 2021, we're going to see some changes to this show. From some of the stuff I can't say yet, because I was told I can't say it by the specific person, but this person has been a very vocal guy at NBC, at USA and NBC about what pressure they should put on WWE. And it seems like things are turning around. One example would be how great their social media has been. Not that this guy's from social media or anything, but you could see that the USA Network is really banking on WWE programming right now, as far as ratings go and key demos go. We're seeing that happen. For Fox, it's a little bit different because they're treated as a sports property and not a television, drama. But like how USA treats Raw. So I'm curious to see where this goes. But I got to tell you, Raw, I very much liked it.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, there was a few things to enjoy. As a fan, did you think it was a little odd that Drew re-won the championship?
Yes and
cool.
No.
Cool.
It is cool. Yeah, it is cool. And I'm not 100% that he's going to keep the title.
Okay.
So obviously the Randy story is Edge, right? They have one more match left in that story. And I think the next one has to be in front of an audience. Has to be.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
What a shame for that return and for that program not to happen in front of an audience. But, I mean, listen, you're a big Edge fan. So am I. I think you're a little bit bigger of an Edge fan than me. Do you feel like that return was affected by not being on TV? Not being in front of an audience?
I think in an ideal world, the return would have led up to the return of crowds, barring him getting hurt. I think him getting hurt kind of put like a damper on it. Edge is honestly like, I think they needed a guy like Edge during this time because he could cut a promo that would go beyond the confines of whatever building they're in, you know? So when you have a good speaker, it doesn't matter if they're in front of a personless crowd and a bunch of screens, they'll get the message across to the home viewing audience, you know? I think they really needed Edge for that moment and those things. But unfortunately, the guy got hurt and that kind of thing got put on the back burner. But I have been enjoying the Drew and Orton stuff, and Drew's come a long way with his promos. Am I wrong about that?
No. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right.
What do you think about the whole thing with Edge? I think we're equal Edge fans, you know? Like, I'm delighted to see Edge, much like a lot of people. He was always, like, he became, like, one of my favorites. I always get a smile on my face when I see Edge. How about you? How do you feel about Edge?
I've appreciated him more. Same with Randy Orton, right? Like, a lot of these older guys, like, I always say, I don't like a 20-year-old world champion. I don't like a 25-year-old world champion. I like the world champion to be a little grizzled, you know, a little rough. I'm trying to think, you know, who benefited? Give me a guy that really benefited from being a young, non-grizzled world champion.
Randy, you know, for sure. Like,
Randy's world title run was a little premature, right? They always said it was premature. I think The Rock would be a great example of a great babyface with a world title.
Okay, Rock.
The Rock, easily. I mean, that's it. Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar was inhuman. He was not a human being. Batista was 40.
Yeah, he was already grizzled. Like all, like you mean 20 to 25, right? Like,
the look,
fresh,
just
fresh
the
baby,
look. Fresh baby,
just a baby. Like if they put the belt on Austin Theory,
like would I think it, would that, it ever get over? No,
right. Like I think that's a good example. Like look at the guys on this roster right now, who fall into that. Like all right, Dominic Mysterio. Like if you threw the belt on Dominic Mysterio at this point, like somehow he got a fluke win over Roman Reigns, how would you feel about that?
I think a fluke win is beneficial when you're trying to elevate somebody, which we see every now and then. I don't know how much it would help a guy like that, but I'm curious to see where they go with this in the long run.
Okay.
You know, like with the world champion, because I feel like they've gone back to the world champion has to look like a tough MF-er. Has to be a little worn. Like, look at Roman. Roman is not the same Roman that he was 2 years ago. Obviously,
For
health reasons and life. I mean, there's a lot of stress, obviously, when you have an illness like that and you got to look good and you got to be on TV. You know, he looks more worn. He looks more aged. And I'm not saying that to knock the guy. I think he benefits with that. Same thing with Randy. Same thing with Drew. Think about all their recent world champions and how they look. I got to also tell you, Kofi, very impressed by his performance the last, I want to say, month.
Yes.
I went down a Kofi rabbit hole on Friday, too, because I was trying to, because I was very impressed by his promo that he was doing on Friday. He's so, because they did that promo with the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
The Hurt Day and the New Day. What did I call them last week? The Hurt Day? Hurt Profits?
So.
I call them something. Pain Business.
I think you called them the Hurt Locker.
Like Hurt Locker. Yeah, the Hurt Locker. Yeah. They were cutting this promo, and you could tell that they were filling in a lot of blanks, which I was very surprised to see they've done that with the New Day segments, and they did the same thing on SmackDown, where they weren't reading a script. It was more off the cuff. And they did a great job, and Kofi was a star. Mm-hmm. And he's looking a little bit different, too. You know, he's put on some weight in a good way. His promos are solid. Very impressed the last month.
Mm-hmm. Getting bigger.
Getting a little bigger.
Okay. I got a question and sort of a point to make with you. All right. In the grand scheme of all pro wrestling, like your major companies, right? I think at this point, I want to piggyback off of what you said before, how a champion should look a little grizzled, like quote unquote a champion, right? How do you feel about Mox as champion in that regard?
What do you think? Let me ask you that. Give me your opinion on this first.
I think he's a good fit for that grizzled champ, right? Like hard-hitting style. I think every company has that person. Nato, right? Double champ.
Yeah.
That dude's very grizzled. Roman, Drew. That fits. I'll throw Finn in there in a weird way just because of the experience. I think he's a grizzled vet at this point, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
You have Roosh in Ring of Honor, and you have Nick Aldis, too. Like, all across the board in the modern state of pro wrestling,
men.
Right. Like,
men.
They look like tough dudes, right? As opposed to, like, you know, when you kind of, I don't know, like not scraping the bottom of the barrel, like that's too harsh a term, but I think when in pro wrestling, it's when you're quote unquote trying something new, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Raw was really good. Very much enjoyed it. I thought AEW was a very solid show.
Fun.
So you saw that there was a very interesting image that went around on Thursday, and it was an image of Moxley being taken out laying on the floor. And he was laying in a very strange way. When I saw it happen, I'm like, I wonder why he's laying like that. Like, his leg was crossed under his other leg, and his hands were up straight. And it's a tarot card, right? And
the Hangman.
The Hangman. So it's possible they're alluding that Adam Page did this. And maybe that's going to be the story in December for that big show between Mox and Omega, where Hangman costs Moxley the title.
I do like that. I kind of like that. Yeah.
So he costs Moxley the title. Everybody's thinking he's going to screw Kenny. He costs Moxley the title because he wants to be the guy that takes the title off of Kenny Omega.
Right.
So now the next major pay-per-view is a number one contendership match, right? This is how I'm doing it. Number one contendership match. Moxley and Hangman. We haven't seen that before. You have them have the match. Hangman wins. Somehow Moxley gets screwed, setting up his program after this. He still has his rematch with Kenny that's supposed to come up after that. And now you have a program for the summer between Hangman and Kenny.
Great. Hot girl summer right there.
Hot girl summer, baby. what did you think of AEW?
I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was, I had a super long week, and Wednesday was very long, but you know what? It was one of those days where I kind of like just forgot about everything and watched wrestling, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed 95% of the show, and the promos were fantastic this Wednesday, you know? And I really enjoyed like the Death Triangle reunion at the end of the show.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I very interested to see that program with Death Triangle and you know, everybody else. I wonder how they're gonna do that.
Also, there's a lot of like, I don't know if this is reaching far, but online there's a lot of chatter of Kenta showing up and
I've seen that,
and interfering with that Moxley match so that he could get Moxley loses the AEW championship, faces somebody, faces Kenta possibly at Wrestle Kingdom, drops it to Kenta. If that's the case, I wouldn't mind seeing a kind of like a tag team situation, you know, where like a Kenta teaming with Omega versus Moxley and Hangman or something like that, if that's even in the cards.
I don't know. So for anybody that hasn't heard it, Kenny Omega did a very interesting interview with Dave Meltzer and it wasn't Brian. I'm sorry. Who did he do it with? Let me just open up the website.
Was it you?
No, my God. My brain has stopped. I just want to tell you. Garrett Gonzalez. I'm sorry, Garrett. I have no idea how my brain just stopped working. Garrett, great host on Wrestling Observer Radio. But they did an interview. He does a Saturday edition with Dave, and I really like the chemistry between them two. And they did a very good interview with Kenny Omega. A lot of people are comparing this to Dave's Bruno interview from the 2000. Or I think it was 2099.
Really?
Yeah, he did an unbelievable interview with Bruno sometime in the early 2000s. Somebody should know the date. And it was stellar. A lot of people are comparing it to this. Kenny was very open about other groups, other organizations, which you rarely hear other talent, you know, talent talk about the competitors. So I advise you guys to check it out. Good job by Garrett and Dave on that. But very interesting. You know, you could tell that he's burned by the whole thing that happened with Japan. 100%.
Okay.
But is it a reality at this point? I don't know if we're going to see that now, but 100% we're going to see it down the line.
Oh,
100%.
Real? Sure.
We could already see the NWA relationship and how that's happening.
Mm-hmm. And that's benefiting everybody, too. I mean, those matches, you know what I like about those NWA women's matches? How JR gets so blown away by them.
Yeah. Oh, he loves it. He really does. Yeah. Because, listen, it's the NWA. He's calling the NWA again, you know. But there was a lot of criticism on Wednesday night that AEW is not doing a good. And listen, another BS complaint, right? AEW's not doing a good job at representing their women, and they're giving the time to non-AEW women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, first of all, unfortunately for AEW, the talent's not there in their exclusive roster, right? Mm-hmm. They really don't have top-tier people like that to profile 2-3 matches like WWE does. WWE's women's division is quite possibly the best. I mean,
stellar
of all time. Like in pro wrestling, right? If you're going to compare women's wrestling, you're going to really. The only other thing I could come up with is the old Japan's women's stuff from the 90s.
Oh yeah,
and that was. I mean, first of all, that style was light years ahead of anything we were doing in North America or anywhere in the world. We just caught up to that style now. 20-some-odd years later, 30 years later, it's come over. But AEW does not really have the depth, and they're profiling really good female wrestlers, I don't see the problem with that, whether it's an AEW exclusive talent or an NWA talent that's a regular on AEW programming. I think if you're going to offer, who cares if they're signed to an exclusive offer?
Right.
They're doing good stuff. You could see that they're building that roster heavily. A lot of it is reliant on the NWA and independent women wrestlers. So what's the issue with that?
I don't see the issue with that at all. I agree 100% with what you just said. I think it's also like comparatively, isn't it really nuts? And we've talked about this on the air and like personally between us, how WWE's women's division is like the show, right? At this point, where they have all the talent, everybody looks amazing, everybody works very well, everybody's quote unquote TV ready, right? They're doing a documentary on Liv Morgan, you know, like who would have thought? Very interesting stuff. They really like people say what you want about that women's Evolution Revolution stuff that they did, but they're kind of following through on it in a very weird way, or these women have become huge stars within the company, and the WWE women's matches on NXT and the main roster are a little more cohesive than the men's stuff, right?
Yeah, a little bit, I would say.
And not only that, but WWE really puts that showbiz star power behind you. It's not a knock on the AEW stuff. I think the AEW stuff is because of their, I guess, not limited resources, but yes, limited resources in the regard that they don't have like the money that WWE is putting towards all of these people, you know, like keeping them in developmental for like a year and a half before they get on TV, doing the NXT thing. AEW Dark is one thing, but also like a big benefit of having a Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb is that you're kind of learning by watching, right? Putting those matches on in front of that roster. Oh, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can do that. And it's, again, not a knock on the AEW women's roster. They have a good roster, a lot of talent that could be breakout stars. Penelope Ford, Jade Cargill, who was passed on by WWE, made her debut.
Yeah.
She looks like a million bucks. And once she gets more comfortable on the microphone and if she can work, forget it, man. Sky's the limit, right?
And also, a lot of these girls are younger. You know, it's younger talent, it's non-TV exposed talent. You hit the nail on the head. When I think, like, great example, Bayley, right? She is the epitome of women's wrestling from the independents. She wrestled for all of them. She was part of, she did all the women's independent groups, and she got signed to WWE as a developmental talent, went through the system. They created this ridiculous character for her that happened to work, and she comes to the main roster, and kudos to WWE here, right? Kudos. Yeah. They now have Bayley on the main roster. She starts getting stale, and what does WWE do? Like the machine that they are, they're able to reinvent her, put her on TV, and guess what? She's probably one of the most important characters they have right now.
It's worked. It's
and this was a dead character a year ago.
Right.
WWE's very capable of doing this. The problem is there's so much talent to work with. Great example, SmackDown last night. SmackDown was not a good go-home show. Not think it was a great go-home. Did you enjoy it or no?
I caught a little bit of it and honestly got like a tad turned off, but I caught the end. Not the best.
Yeah. Not the best.
I caught the beginning. Yeah.
Not terrible, but not the best. But this is a go-home show for a pay-per-view. And you're not really doing a good job at selling it to me. That's where my issue lies with this. You know, I know Survivor Series has become a nothing show. Really, the big story here for this show is The Undertaker's retirement, which I do not believe he's retiring. That is my own assumption. That has nothing to do with anything I've been told. Everything I've been told is that, no, this is his big send-off.
Okay.
No, in wrestling, I really think they're going to do one more thing with him to build a story. I don't know. I don't think The Fiend would be the one to do it with. Who's the guy that you haven't seen it done with? Realistically, that could happen. They could do something. Cinematic. That's all you got to do, man.
Roman again. So Taker's on the poster, right? Taker's face is the poster for Survivor Series tonight. Do you think that's going to be at the top of the show, the middle, or the end?
I don't think they'll do the end. Savio Vega's there.
He's running for mayor of a town in Puerto Rico.
Is he?
Yeah.
I want Savio. I want TNT. Where's my Savio?
That's your boy.
Jesus.
That's your boy.
Savio? Here it is. Here's Savio.
So are they doing the Mick Foley's This Is Your Life with Undertaker tonight?
Oh, I would love that. And then they bring out, you know, Godfather and Savio, all those dudes. Rikishi, the whole BSK crew. Love it. I want to make that happen.
I'm excited about that stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is cool. I do want to see Roman and Drew. Definitely want to see that. Is there anything else that stands out to you? Let's go through the card. Why don't we do that?
I have the card pulled up right now. I do enjoy the 5-on-5s, to be honest with you. But so the pre-show starts at 6. The show starts at what, like 7 o'clock? You want me to go down the card right now, Andrew?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So you're going to get a dual brand battle royal, which is opening up the show. Probably going to be like a quick 10-minute opener. Fun, right? Then you get Team Raw. AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Riddle, just Riddle, versus Team SmackDown, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Otis.
Oh, yikes.
That's going to be a fun 5-on-5. You're going to get the strong spots with Braun. You're going to get the comedy spots with Otis. You're going to get the high spots with Riddle and Seth. And then you're going to get like some cool shit with Keith Lee.
Okay.
Right? And Styles. Cool.
But do you feel like last year's card was a bigger deal than this one's? Remember what we got last year, right?
Let's see. Hang on one second.
Last year's was really interesting because we got the NXT guys. So the show started off with Team NXT, the women's match. I think NXT did like a sweep, right? Didn't they win everything?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
So look at this freaking card, dude. Okay, so last year's card, before you go into this, pre-show, Ziggler and Rude won by eliminating the Street Profits. 1 year later, they're still in an angle with them on Raw.
Wow.
Think about that, right? We got Leo Rush defeating Akira Tozawa on Raw, Team Raw, and Kalisto, Team SmackDown. Leo Rush was the Cruiserweight Champion. We got the Viking Raiders, Team Raw, defeated the New Day, which was Team SmackDown, and the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. This was a very good match.
Yes.
People forget how good this match was. Then we got, and by the way, those three matches, all pre-show, right? Now we're on the main card. Team NXT, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae, and Io Shirai, and Toni Storm. I was going to say Tony Hawk. I was going to call her Tony Hawk.
Dude.
Can you imagine if Tony Hawk was on that? They defeated Team Raw, which was Charlotte, Natty, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan. SmackDown was Sasha, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross. One of the worst SmackDown teams ever put together.
Absolutely.
Terrible SmackDown team. Random. Then we got Roddy, NXT North American Champion, defeated AJ Styles, Raw United States Champion, and Shinsuke Nakamura, SmackDown Intercontinental Champion. Great match.
Yeah.
Right? Then we got Adam Cole and defeated Pete Dunne. I believe this is the day after. He was all bandaged up, right? Because this was right after War Games?
Yes.
Okay. Then we got The Fiend defeating Daniel Bryan for the Universal title. We got SmackDown was Roman, Braun, Corbin, Mustafa Ali, and Shorty G defeating Team Ross, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet. And Team NXT, Ciampa, Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and Walter.
Strong team.
Then we got the Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio match. And Shayna Baszler defeated Becky Lynch and Bayley. Yeah.
Listen, that main event was fun, but otherwise not the most memorable Survivor Series. This one has potential because I feel like it's only 7 matches, including the pre-show match.
Yep.
It's going to be quick, which I like. I think this year's men's match is kind of on par with last year's. I wish there was the NXT component. Then you have the women's match, Team Raw, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler. Love them as a tag team. Lana, she's come a long way. Lacey Evans, who I feel like is kind of floating in limbo. And so is Peyton Royce, right, to fill out the team. Team SmackDown, Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya. I feel like Team SmackDown needs to win this because they have the fresher faces, right?
Let me see. Who's on the team?
Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, okay. Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya.
I'm going to tell you right now, Raw's winning.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Raw winning.
Okay. Another Raw versus SmackDown match. Bobby Lashley, who is the United States champion, versus Sami Zayn, who's the Intercontinental champion. This is a good callback to an earlier feud, so you already know these guys are going to work well together. I think this is going to be a very quick 2-minute match.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious because Sami's so good on the freaking mic. This dude is great. And you really like disliking him. He's a phenomenal heel. I don't know. Maybe Sami takes a cheap win over Lashley. What do you think?
That'd be cool. I think Lashley's going to take it, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way.
He's on Raw. He's bigger. You know, apparently Vince likes that.
Big.
Big. Then you have the New Day, Kofi and Xavier, as the Raw Tag Champs versus the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, the SmackDown Tag Champs, Champions versus Champions non-title tag team match. I think this is going to be a lot of fun and a potential show stealer.
So I agree with you. I'm excited to see this match. I'm excited to see this match. I don't know who should take it. I think Xavier and Kofi are on a nice run right now. I'm liking this this team. I was very concerned when they split them up. I didn't expect them to kind of stay together and kind of keep the momentum going with the split. But they've done a good job at not really doing a hard split, and Biggie's kind of still involved. You know, they're still part of the team. It's just they're on Raw and he's on SmackDown. You think Street Profits take this? You think it's going to be a passing of the torch type thing?
I think the Street Profits could do with a win more than the New Day. The New Day are an institution at this point. They don't need a win in a non-title match, right? I think the Street Profits take it. Big celebration with both teams. Handshakes. Yeah. Everybody loves each other. Feel good moment.
Okay. All right, cool.
Moving on, you have Asuka, Raw Women's Champion versus Sasha Banks, SmackDown Women's Champion, champion versus champion, again, non-title singles match. I think this is going to be fun. I also feel like this is going to be a very quick match in which Asuka takes it.
Asuka over Sasha. Maybe Bayley interferes and does something.
That would be cool. I do think Asuka needs a win. You know what? Asuka and Sasha are very, they're in like a weird place right now, right? Or is it that just me?
No, they are.
Right.
Since the program's over.
Yeah. So like, I think either one winning, it doesn't really make a difference. You can even Steven the shit out of this.
You know what? Carmella.
Oh, yeah.
Carmella is going to cost Sasha the title. Okay. There you go.
Well, the match.
Yeah, the match.
And then the main event is Drew McIntyre as Raw's new champion, second time holding the belt, versus Roman Reigns, SmackDown's Universal Champion, Paul Heyman. I think this is going to be a super, super hard-hitting match with no clear winner. I think you're going to get Edge involved somehow. You're going to get Sheamus involved somehow.
It's going to be a schmoz, you think?
I think it's going to be a schmoz or... Yeah. It's going to be like a double DQ or something, because you got to keep both these guys strong, right?
Yeah, they have to keep them both strong. But I got to tell you, the Drew winning the title back, thinking about it throughout the show, has really thrown a monkey wrench in this. Also, The Miz. What if The Miz cashes in?
True. That would be fantastic.
Who does he cash in on?
Roman.
Very interesting to see. Maybe The Miz plays a part in this. See, this is the... I would say that Miz having the briefcase and Drew having the title has kind of changed things.
Okay.
And I don't know if this was always intended to happen or this was a new call. They had to make the call for this and kind of change it. I think Miz having the briefcase is a better thing than Otis. Otis having a briefcase was really bizarre, and I would have at least liked the cash in, but obviously they want to keep the briefcase in play.
Yes. Does the briefcase hold any importance to you as a wrestling fan at this point?
No, because of the people holding it. We really haven't seen who. Let's see who has held it.
Hey, hold on one second, Andrew.
Yeah.
So Mountain Man in the chat says the 10th anniversary of Miz's last cash-in is today, and in the same building.
Oh, really?
So
if they don't cash it in, very disappointed.
That would be kind of cool. Is that a real fact? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that
is. If you made that up, that's genius. But
No, that is a real fact.
Okay.
Yeah. So here are the Money in the Bank winners, right? Otis, the last one. Obviously, now the Miz has it. Before that was Brock Lesnar. Okay? Before that was Braun, Baron, Dean Ambrose, Sheamus, Seth Rollins, Damian Sandow, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan. And then, they did two. They did a couple of them, right? They did. They used to do two Money in the Banks.
Cena, 2012.
Miz and Kane, 2010. 2011, Del Rio and Daniel Bryan. Oof, Cena and Dolph.
Randy, that one is going to be deleted.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, you don't really have... Where's the CM Punk one? Didn't CM Punk have it?
That was not on the branded event. That was when it was worked into the shows.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
There has... it was like the ladder match, right? So that was just a signature match... Started in 2005, and then the pay-per-view started in the actual pay-per-view started in 2010.
So Edge is the first winner. Rob Van Dam, Ken Kennedy. Man, Mr. Kennedy winning that title would have changed his entire career.
Oh, forget it.
My God. You know what? I got to tell you, though, the first couple ones, they were really strong. Edge, Rob Van Dam finally getting the title at One Night Stand 2006.
Awesome.
Mr. Kennedy, he was supposed to be the future. Right? Yeah. He was the guy. Then you had Punk again and Punk again. You had him 2008, 2009. Then it started getting weird. Swagger. Kane, Miz, so Daniel Bryan. Okay, fine, cool. Del Rio, Dolph. That Dolph cash-in was a big deal. Yes. Cena, Damian, Randy, Seth, Sheamus, Dean. And then, you know, after that, I think they've lost momentum. They got to do something big. I think Brock Lesnar was the attempt to gain momentum back to this. But nothing great.
I would like John Cena to win next year.
John Cena to win the briefcase?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Okay. Do you want to do Q&As or you want to continue with something?
Let's talk about The Undertaker a little bit. So at some point during this quick pay-per-view, you're going to have The Undertaker farewell or final farewell. That's what they're calling it, right? 30 years of The Undertaker. He's going away. The interesting thing about the whole Undertaker idea in the last week is this dude is doing more media than he ever has, right? They did the documentary a few months ago. This dude did an Instagram Live with Snoop Dogg yesterday.
Yes, he has a TikTok now.
He's got a TikTok. He's doing Cameo. He was doing Cameo, dude. A thousand bucks a pop. $1,000. I sent you the text on that, right? $1,000 a pop.
People are outraged. I think it's freaking great. $1,000, you know what? Let him get that money. He's going to get it. People are going to buy it.
He's only doing 30. So that means he probably made 30 grand over the course of what, like a day and a half?
Yeah.
Just to have people. There's definitely marks out there who are like, you know what? I don't give a shit, dude. Next paycheck, Undertaker cameo.
I want the Undertaker to call me.
What would you have the Undertaker say to you?
I can't say it on the air.
Can you do a clean version of it?
Hold on. I'm going to text it to you.
Okay. I'll try to do a clean version of whatever Andrew texts me, right? I can't say that on the air. That's pretty good. That's very good, though. I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the day. He wouldn't say that, though. He'd probably...
R-I-M-A.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely people who paid for that, but this dude's been on like this really wacky media tour. Like he retired from like baseball or some shit, and he was in People magazine with a weird photo shoot with his family in a kitchen. Dude made, like, if you look at that photo shoot in People magazine, he apparently, this guy makes perfectly cooked bacon, which I fucking doubt. He's been like kind of everywhere, right? Just doing interviews. He was on Hot Ones the other day.
I don't like that, dude. I don't like
eating hot wings.
No, he needs to be in character. That guy cannot be a normal person. I selfishly do not want him to ever be Mark Calloway.
Now, when he shows up tonight, do you think he's showing up in full Undertaker regalia, or is he showing up over the course of three times in the night, old school Undertaker, American Badass, and then regular Undertaker, the combination Undertaker, and then just finally Mark Calloway? Like,
No, I didn't even think about it. I always thought he would come out as Undertaker, but I would love him to come out as like the original Deadman. Come out like as the original purple. Like the purple, like debut Undertaker.
Oh yeah, I'd love that. And then finally he'll sadly take off his hat and coat and be like, "I'm not the Undertaker anymore, guys. It's me, Mark Calloway. And I'll see you. It's been me all along, and I'll see
it's
you later.
It's been me all along."
And then, like, he kind of, like, tips his bucket hat, and then he starts singing a song called The Last Ride, and he fucking leaves.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
I think you... All right, here's how it's going to go. Elias is going to interrupt him. Elias gets chokeslammed.
Okay. And then he has to do a tombstone, right?
Yeah, and then Undertaker looks at the camera with a tear in his eye, and then he goes, "Well, I guess I finally get to rest in peace." And that's it. And he tombstones himself.
What if he says what I wrote to you? What if that's what he says?
I think both of our heads would explode. Imagine if Undertaker came out doing the Enzo intro.
Oh, I love it. I would love that. Love that. You know what I find hysterical? People that recreate Undertaker like in like 2K in the games.
Yes.
And they make him come out to the Bella's entrance, or they make him come out like one of the women. I find that so entertaining. It's I have no idea why. It does something to me mentally. Guys, submit your questions. Amazing. Submit your questions in the chat room. If you're watching live, we're live on YouTube here. We got a bunch of people in the chat. We're live on Twitch. We're live everywhere. A bunch of people listening to the audio feed today. Great to hear from them. Submit your questions in the YouTube chat room, youtube.com/MattMenPodcast. You can go there. Check us out. Hit the subscribe button. We're on our way to 5,000 subscribers. We're on our way, guys. We're almost there. Very much appreciate everybody that follows us, subscribes to us, hooks us up on Patreon. Tonight, we're going to be doing Super Chat again. So if you want to watch along with us tonight, we're live at 6:30. 6:36? I'll come 6:30. On at 6. Rich, yeah, 6:30. We're going to be live tonight for Survivor Series. And that's when you guys could tip us. We're hanging out. You could tip us. It'll be a good time. So let's see. Questions, Rich.
I got a question right here from Damien, old friend of the podcast. He's checking in. He's alive and well. Which talent has the best chance to really show themselves to the larger WWE universe and show out? My pick is Bianca Belair. Yeah, why not? I think Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan for sure. They're doing a documentary on her. I think for some reason tonight might be her night.
So is the question regarding talent for tonight?
Sure.
Bianca is really the one that really pops as far as... comes to mind, like who from the men?
Otis.
Ugh, I'm over.
Why don't you like it? You don't like Otis?
I'm over him. I'm over him. I'm over him.
Why? Why? You just don't, you don't like
the
his belly?
No, don't like the split.
All right.
Don't like the split.
The grape is in the chat room.
The grape.
Grape. Iazaktar.
The grape. Iazaktar.
The grape. Are you buying a bunch of WWE gear for Black Friday? Asks the grape.
No. I am not. I'm not buying. You know, I rarely buy wrestling stuff other than to set up the studio. No, not for myself. Like, it's all for the studio. Like, I don't.
What the fuck are you wearing right now?
I know. Well, I didn't buy this. It was sent to me, right? It was sent to me. But I don't really buy, like, I don't collect the figures. Like, somebody, one of my friends, he's very much into collecting figures. Mm-hmm. And I know you are too. You have your collectibles.
Absolutely.
Do you go from store to store to find specific ones?
It depends on what I want, but I do enjoy the hunt sometimes, and I'm not going to bore you with specifics, but yeah, on occasion I'll do that. Like once in a while, I'll know when something's out and I'll hit a bunch of stores and just kind of like do a little me day, you know?
Yeah. Like I bought, you know what? I got this.
All right.
Because
on,
I thought
yeah.
this was really awesome. Like I very much thought this was really cool and I wanted. That's probably the only
great
major
figure.
Wrestling thing that I got for myself. You know, I got the big gold belt, but that's for the studio more than anything else. Like that's the only reason why I got it, to put on display. I find it cool, but I'm not really searching.
Come on, man. You know you jazz all over that thing.
I exer jazzed all over it. Oh, by the way, we didn't mention this. I don't know how I forgot before we continue with the questions. Guys, keep submitting them in the chat room. So WWE's moving the Thunderdome. Yes. We spoke about this about a month ago. I had brought up that Tropicana Field was in the play, and it looked like they were going there because there was no other venue to go to. So it's going to be very interesting. Tropicana Field is an indoor baseball field. It's a domed field, but it's not retractable. It's just closed. Okay. I believe it's considered one of the worst fields in baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of the worst arenas, I believe, Bob. If Bob is in the chat room, you could confirm that. So I'm very curious how they're going to set up, because that's a massive building, and they're not going to have anybody in the building. Stories coming out that we don't expect there to be anybody in the building for Royal Rumble, which I find that interesting because of how large that venue is and how AEW has people every week. And they had a little over a thousand paid. I think it was like 900 paid, and they had another couple hundred people there for their pay-per-view. So why couldn't they do a couple hundred or a couple thousand people? They technically can. I don't know if that's out of the works. I've seen people say they're not going to have people in the building, but I don't know how true that is because nobody has seen the actual contract. So they're going to have that location till when? Till baseball begins in April?
Probably, if baseball begins in April.
If baseball begins in April. So then where the hell do you go? And this is the big question, right? I don't expect us to be in a lockdown in April, but it is interesting to think about because baseball season's beginning, right? Basketball season is still happening. So where do you go that's available for you to run a residency?
Maybe they can co-op the bubble somehow from the NBA.
Well, no, no more bubble. No more bubble.
Okay.
That's the problem. The bubble's gone. They're all going to be in their home arenas. So what do you do when you don't have the luxury of having a residency? Do you start traveling from state to state? I'm very interested to see how they're going to do this. If there is some sort of, you know, still a quarantine or limitation on what you can and can't do in April. I expect it to be far looser, obviously, you know, with the vaccine and other treatments and everything. But I think they're in a very difficult place of planning right now. I don't know how they're going to plan this. So I'm curious. Just a thought out there. What else do we have?
Okay. What will be the main event of WrestleMania from Chocolate Thunder?
I'm going to say if it happens, it's going to be Rock and Roman.
I agree with that.
There has to be Rock and Roman. You could do Randy and Edge for the title. That's a possibility also.
Great. Sasha Bailey, maybe?
No, they're not going to do that. I asked already.
Now is last year you had two main events for WrestleMania. WrestleMania was over two nights, and your technical main event of the second night was The Undertaker, right? It was Undertaker AJ Styles.
I think that was the first night.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that closed the first night.
No, that closed the second night.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure.
First night. There you go.
Okay. I was
wrong. Because the world title, because the Brock Lesnar match was the second night.
Okay. Okay. Yes. All right. Did any of you get a PS5? I did not.
I did not either. No PS5 for me.
All right. Let's see. Hold on 1 second here. Question. This is from The Grape. Do you see cinematic matches continuing after the pandemic is over?
I would hope so.
Once a quarter.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think it works. The Undertaker match is a great example of it working. I think they need to be strategic on how they do it. Now, I don't think Bray should be having cinematic matches often, but I think for guys that are kind of out of the loop, you know, a little bit of the older guys, I think they could very easily do cinematic matches and have these guys get that moment. You know, the Undertaker's Boneyard match was probably, in my opinion, I think it was the best one that WWE did, but I think it was the best one all around for the cinematic matches. It was a guy that they knew they would not be able to get that match in the Performance Center. They were smart enough to know that the Undertaker's much larger than the Performance Center, and if you do bring him out there in the Performance Center to have that match, you're going to expose him.
And, oh, 100%.
Right? So you're going to expose the whole the mystique around him. So why not take that match and make it into something very special? And I think we got something unbelievably special with that, with the AJ Styles Undertaker match.
Did a great job.
I think for the Undertaker, if he did, and this is what I said, and you said this too, if he did another 2-3 of those, I have no problem seeing him at WrestleMania every year.
Oh, absolutely.
You very easily do a 15-minute cinematic match with the Undertaker doing creepy stuff. You could have him and Kane in a match. You could even do that Sting match that you wanted. Yeah. You could do all these matches that you really don't think would do really well as a match goes on TV. I think Goldberg will eventually become one of those guys. You know what? A Sturgis match for Goldberg.
Oh, a super spreader. That's what it'd be
super
called.
Super spreader. Yeah. It's a super spreader match. So I don't know. I'm okay with it. What do you think? You think the older guys, like, why can't Austin have a cinematic match?
I don't think he wants to.
I don't think he wants to either.
Undertaker for sure. If you have a guy like a Sting or an Undertaker, maybe even a Goldberg, you can get away with it.
Hogan.
Hogan, sure. Hogan
at the beach club.
Yeah, Hogan on the beach for sure. Hogan on a speedboat for sure. They should make a show about that. We got a question from Josh.
Yeah.
He says, God forbid we go into another home lockdown, but if we do, is there a wrestler you wouldn't mind being in lockdown with? Yeah, whatever babe is
you
want to
be with
cool.
The babe? No. Absolutely. I'm going to pick. You know who? I would do the New Day as a collective. As a yes.
Okay.
I would do the New Day. Dude, how much fun would it be to hang out with them? They like comic books. They like video games. They like to eat. Mm-hmm. They're funny. We could do podcasts. They're hip.
Uh-huh.
I want to be with the New Day.
All right. I'll go with one of the ladies.
You know, I have this whole thing. You want to go with one of the ladies? Which one? Pick one.
Yeah. Let's say Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
You don't want Nia? You don't want to bunk with Nia?
No. Will Alexander Najimi asks, I hope I said that right. Will Ring of Honor, NWA, and AEW and New Japan all start working together? Who if they do, who benefits the most?
Who was on that list again? Name
Ring of Honor, NWA, AEW, and New Japan. If they started working together, who benefits the most?
It would probably be Ring of Honor. Because they're the only ones with real TV. Of TV outside of AEW. I think Ring of Honor would benefit. I think New Japan would benefit for the North American crossover. I don't know about NWA because they really don't have TV. They were doing something very unique and cool for, you know, the 200,000 people that were into it. And that's enough to sell tickets to smaller events. I think they were on the roll for something interesting. I think obviously the pandemic screwed everything up, but NWA's place, they're very lucky to have AEW. I think Tony Khan gets, you know, tickled by the concept of him having NWA NWA matches on TNT. It's only a matter of time till we see the world title, NWA world title on TNT. So I think honestly Ring of Honor would benefit because they're really in the slump. A terrible slump. Nobody's talking about them. I thought that pure title tournament was done very well, but nobody's really talking about it. They've really in a year, right? From two Aprils ago to last April, that company changed and became just another independent. Just crazy to think.
Yeah, for real. All right. You ready for another question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on one second. Will there be an eventual wrestling union?
No. I don't believe so.
Okay.
And I'll see why. This is how it's going to go. Hey Roman, hey Drew, hey Randy, hey Edge, hey Cena. Give me another top. Seth. We're going to unionize, but we're taking half your salary away.
Union dues.
Okay. No. Fees, because remember, it's going to cost WWE way more for insurance and benefits. So we're going to cut your salaries, probably 60%. And you're going to have union fees. And you're going to have to answer to a union. You can't really decide what you're going to... A union's going to do your bargaining. You know, you're not going to have this option to come in with your agent and do it by yourself. The union's involved. So, do you guys want that? Tell you right now, the answer is going to be no. The top guys are not... And by the way, I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying when you go to... It's already been established that it's a very short career in wrestling.
Right.
The mentality is... Hoard all the money that you possibly can. And by the way, the whole Twitch thing and that they're up in arms, it has to do with that concept of wrestlers wanting to make as much money as they can because their career, you don't know when it ends. So do you want to give away 60% of your salary when you don't know if you're going to break your neck tomorrow? The answer is going to be absolutely not. Like me personally, if I was a wrestler and I'm making $350,000 a year, right? Mid-tier. Let's say $400,000 a year. Let's say $500,000 a year. I'm in the middle. I'm a middle card wrestler. If you're telling me that I get to give away half my salary, I'm going to say absolutely not. And that's going to be the approach from WWE. They're not, and I'm giving that half as a extreme because WWE's going to want to make this into a, and the answer to be no. And how do you do that? You show them how much the expenses are and you take it out of their salary. And that's what they're going to do.
Oh yeah, 100%. They'll definitely do that. I got a question for you, Andrew. Kind of again, like to jump off that point.
Yeah,
it is quite possible that the last time we saw some kind of union, in a weird way, was technically how the wrestlers in WCW in the 90s kind of ran the company, right?
You know what? That's an interesting comparison, to be honest, because because the top had so much pull,
right,
and so much control, it affected the younger talent. So, and listen, you think a union is going to push these guys? You think a union is not going to want to have some sort of creative direction over the talent? They're going to be able to decide what roles they want to pick, and they want to decide what they want to do. Wrestling is a very different beast, and. Listen, should these guys be considered independent contractors? No, they are not independent contractors. There's no way in 2020 or even in 1990 that these guys were considered independent contractors. I know a lot about this stuff. I deal with independent I'm an independent contractor for my consulting stuff. I deal with about 300 different independent contractors on a regular basis. An independent contractor makes their own schedule. They show up when they want to show up. They leave when they want to leave. They're not exclusive to you. You cannot tell them how to work, when to work. Obviously, if there's something that breaks the rules of your business, yeah, that's a different story. But, you know, you're not allowed to fire independent contractors. You cannot even use the term fire because that is grounds to be sued. You know what they get? Contract terminated.
Right.
You become contract terminated. You don't become fired because you don't work for the company. But in reality, you're talking about wrestling to have a union, not WWE.
In general,
yeah, you know
right.
what? If you're yeah. a younger, hungry talent that's making 20 grand working wrestling or 30 grand because you're not on a big product, of course you're going to want more compensation and more benefits. But once you get there, are you willing to give up a lot of your income?
Well, also, there's another aspect of that where would they be considered, let's say a wrestling union does happen, right? Like, let's say, for argument's sake, you have this all come together. And then let's say you're an indie wrestler, and you're going to do a show on the weekend, right? Are you going to be a rat if you do a show that, and you're not part of a union, or like
a non-union
show? Like if you go to, like, let's say you're going to do a show in West Bumblefuck wherever, and they're not union certified, and then the union could be like, hey, listen, you didn't do this show.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. I had a friend that wanted to do a film, and his friend was an actor, and the actor wanted to do it, but he couldn't because of the union issues.
Right.
Because it was a non-union movie. There's this concept out there where people are like, yeah, wrestlers need a union. Wrestlers need a union. I think a conversation should be, hey, maybe WWE should provide insurance, which they do if you get hurt. If you get hurt under WWE's umbrella, they pay for your injury. You know, when Hardy got hurt out at home, they still paid for him. You know, you got to remember, this is an investment. They've invested in this talent. So if the talent cannot afford the surgery, guess what? He's not making money for you. So, you know, there's tremendous compensations for being a major television star. Now, whether or not these guys are going to want to give up a lot of their salary. Also, you're going to see major cuts. The roster is going to get a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do become a union, remember, dude, it's very complicated. Very, very complicated. A great example of this is that, do you know why WWE does not go to MSG? They don't run the garden all the time. It's the freaking unions. Yeah. I don't think people realize what this is like. I've run events at the garden. I needed a freaking screwdriver, right? I needed an outlet. I needed a screwdriver too, but I needed an outlet. They wanted to charge me $125 to borrow an outlet, and I couldn't bring my own.
Yeah.
They wanted to charge me $100 to use a screwdriver for 30 seconds. So tell me where the benefit is.
You're getting into the nuances of it. Javits Center is another good example. They do the same thing where, like, you know, like if you need anything, you have to wait, and it has to go through the proper channels.
Yep.
And imagine having a wrestling show, and then you have, and like, again, this is, we're not talking pros and cons. We're just like, it would be almost impossible in this field of work, because like, imagine doing a show, right? It's a union show, right? Imagine the promoter saying, hey, listen, I need you to go out there. I need you to go out there and do 10 minutes. Right. But then you're in the union. You could say, hey, listen, I only feel comfortable doing 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I do 5 minutes and then I'm out of here. Listen, like, I got this and this and this. Talk to the union. You have to, like, the promoter is going to have to be like, all right, I don't want trouble from the union. I guess I got to give this guy what he wants. You know, so it's very like you're going to run into that. And it's like a weird, nuanced gray area at a certain point.
And I feel like a lot of this conversation has to do. And listen, I think there needs to be a discussion for this, 100%, right?
Yeah.
There needs to be a discussion. However, the discussion should be held with people that have a very good understanding of what the implications of unionizing in pro wrestling is. It shouldn't be people cheerleading on social media and saying, well, these guys need to be part of a union. I think there are a lot of pros with being a union. I think if you know, we've seen the pros for being a union, and we've seen the cons of being a union in a union. I think Detroit is a great example of what happens when the union gets too much power. They demand way more money, way more money, and then the company says, you know what, we're moving out of Detroit, we're moving out of Michigan, and then you start the game all over again. You gotta remember, people aren't unionizing to benefit everybody; they're unionizing to benefit themselves. That's what it comes down to, and at the end of the day. Because pro wrestling is such a dog-eat-dog business, and your career could end any day, any hour, due to any tiny thing, do you think these guys are going to want to give up a major chunk of their salary just so other people have protection? The answer is going to be no.
Right.
And listen, I'm not saying that's my answer. I'm saying that's what I believe the answer will be. We see them. We see how they talk about money and negotiate for money.
Oh, forget it.
It's, and I think a lot of people are not privy to that. Like, I hear about, you want to talk about negotiating with Roman and Seth and these guys? We're not talking to guys that are, you know, rah-rah, give me whatever you want to give me. These are people, these are business guys.
Right, right. And, you know, guys have agents now. You want to do one more question and then wrap it up? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Alex. Will wrestling competition ever pick up to the point where AEW guys jump ship to WWE and vice versa, kind of like what we had in the late 90s?
I think so. I think we're getting... Will AEW in the next, let's say 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Small, because who knows what will happen in the future. Is AEW going to be in WWE's category? No. I don't think they'll be at the same level. WWE is an institution of over 50 years. The revolutionary force in sports entertainment. Right? Isn't that what they tell us?
That's what they tell us, sir.
Yeah. Isn't that what they... I don't see... you know, there being another, you know, head-to-head and them kicking WWE in the ass. However, we're seeing the key demos shift. You know, when AEW's beating you in a key demo, your key demo, that's a little concerning. You know, you got to... But for WWE, it's way more than just cable viewership. You're talking about merch sales, YouTube numbers, digital numbers, partnerships, brand recognition. Oh, there's so much involved in what WWE does. Yeah. They're a media conglomerate at this point. They're targeting TV, film, internet, digital, print, everything. AEW is still a wrestling company. So are they going to be at the same level? No. However, I do see guys jumping back and forth. That will happen.
Absolutely.
I don't know when, but that's definitely going to happen.
100%.
Yeah. Are we? We didn't talk about War Games. They announced War Games. We're out of time though. I got to get out of here. It's 1 o'clock. So listen, we'll be back tonight, 6:30.
Yeah, all right. Baby.
I'll be back at 6:00. Maybe Rich is going to come in at 6:30. We're going to have a slew of our guests come in. We'll figure out how we're going to bring everybody in. Cause it gets very confusing when everybody's on VMix call. So, we'll be having our hotline open. We're going to be hanging out. I'll have a drink. Rich is not going to have a drink. Maybe I'll get something to eat. I think my wife is making chicken parm today.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. She made
that chicken parm.
You know, she made lasagna Friday.
Yeah, I know you did that lasagna.
Oh, I told you what I did to that lasagna. I made love to that lasagna.
This guy.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So I think I'm gonna maybe I'll have my dinner on the air. We'll have a couple drinks. We'll chill. We'll make it a lot of fun, guys. Very romantic evening with my chicken parm. Guys, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button. We're live every week here. Obviously, today we changed the schedule around because Rich had a photo shoot, and knock on wood, he's busy with work. I'm still working. Any day, the rug is getting pulled under me. So we'll see what happens when they shut down all of New York. But I'm still going to work. So it was a kind of a crazy schedule. But, however, we are back next week. We're back tonight with another watch-along for Survivor Series. Tell your friends. Come by. Grab a drink. Grab your dinner and join us. We'll see you all next time, guys. Take care.
Later, guys.